On, well, on Wednesday, I kind of had a life-altering experience. I had cataract surgery on my left eye, get the right eye in a couple of more weeks. And I'm lensless on the left side. And so for the first time in my life, I can actually see stuff with that eye without having glasses. I've worn glasses for over 50 years, and suddenly this is very, very strange. However, my eyes haven't quite adjusted to this yet, and so I am not real stable. It's been an interesting week. I haven't been able to read very well, and as a result, I had a hard time with studying this week and things. It's been interesting. But we are looking forward to better things. And better things is kind of where the thrust of this message goes here today. Now, you know that when I get into these passages, I tend to get detail obsessed. And there are things that I find myself digging into, and I want us to look at and talk about. And we talked last week about the witnesses, about laying aside the weight, about running and running with endurance this race that is before us, and that we are looking to Jesus, and that Jesus is the focal point. He's the goal that we need to have our eyes on. And as you read through this very familiar passage and you hit this looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that one little phrase in there is loaded with so many different ideas that I think we need to consider. And first of all, the fact that our faith has a focus, it has a target, and that target is Jesus. And he talks about Jesus here as being, in this translation, he uses the terms author and finisher, and I have a whole list of different ways that this is translated. You may find this, one of these in your Bible. Author and finisher, of course. Some versions have pioneer and perfecter, author and perfecter, leader and source and goal, and founder and perfecter. These are all different ways that same thing has been translated. And when I start seeing something that's got a whole bunch of different words used in translation, it always sends me digging in. Why is there an issue with the translation? Why do we have so many different ways of expressing this idea in English? And the basic concept, of course, in here is it's talking about we look to Jesus because he's the beginning and the end of our faith. It begins here, it ends here. The words that he uses here are interesting ones. Now, it translates it as author, and I've got the New King James, and I think the Old King James uses author as well, and several of your others in that same tradition. All of these words that are used, while probably accurate, kind of leave some things out. Now, the word that's used there in the Greek is a word that we find in I think four or five other places in Scripture, but one place where we find it is in Hebrews 2. And so the same word used by the same writer in the same letter in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now, the word that's translated captain here is the same word that's translated as author later on. And those kind of things sometimes make me stop and think. This is a word that in non-biblical Greek is used to describe a founder of a city or a trailblazer into a new place. And I think the idea of creating something, and particularly the idea of founding the city, of building the walls, laying the foundation, giving it substance and definition, is a good picture of what Jesus does with regards to faith, is that he sets it up, he gives it reality, and he makes it happen really out of nothing. You know, the founder of the city, you go into the wilderness and you start building buildings, and there's the city. And the usage of that, the way that he sets this up, to say that Jesus is the one who makes it happen. He's the one who causes this whole thing to come together. And the second half of this, where he then talks about the finisher, we get into an even more interesting situation. The Greek word that we translate as finisher here, or in a bunch of other ways in other places, like I said, you know, this is perfecter, goal. Perfecter is the one that's used the most. This is the only place it appears in Scripture. It may well be this is the only place it appears in any Greek literature. What that means is that the writer kind of created the word. Now you say, well, what? Okay, we create words all the time. Okay, that's the way language works. And we create words to express an idea. Now, one that you know, was really big here a year or so ago, and maybe still shows up, is selfie. Okay, you've heard that word. That's a created word. It's made up. And it didn't exist before. But it is a word that communicates something. If you think about it a little bit, it communicates what it's about even without necessarily having a precise definition for it, because it's derived from other things. So when we see this word here in Greek that doesn't appear anywhere else, it's not that it's nonsense that he just throws on a page and we come up with a meaning. It's derived from other things. And so, like selfie is coming from yourself and your cell phone. There's a nice, you know, combination for taking a picture of yourself. We have a word here which derives from other words. And the idea of one who finishes something, one who completes something, the other words that it draws from are ones that would indicate accomplishing a task, reaching a conclusion. And so we can draw from that. We can say that Jesus is the one who is the instigator, the beginner, the founder of our faith. And he is also the one who brings it to a conclusion, who finishes all of that work and makes it complete. Now, when we have that word perfecter used, and like I say, the way that English has kind of shifted over the years, we sometimes treat perfecter in a different sense, because the real sense there is to completely finish. And that's the idea behind being perfect, is completed, absolutely completed. So he is the one who founds it. He's the one who completes it. But what is he completing? What is he founding? And here's another one of those little quirky things that we run into with translation of Scripture, is that in Greek, you have things that are implied by the context. And we do that in English too, but Greek has a lot more of these. And so if you have a translation which says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that word our is implied. It's not explicit in the Greek. And so really what it says is the author and finisher of faith. I want to go back, and I realize we're being very technical here. I'm sorry. You get this from me once in a while. Okay. I dig this stuff. We go back, and again, we look at that, some of these translation things, and more than translation, because almost every translation that I looked at does, and I think there was only one exception, uses either our faith or just faith in the way that it translates this. But a lot of commenters who comment on this passage change that and say this really should read the author and finisher of the faith. Okay, now you may have seen that in commentaries, or you may have heard that, talking about the faith. Well, what's the distinction? The basic distinction here goes back to who wrote the letter. Okay? And there are those who argue that Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews. I'm not one of them. Some get very, very hot under the collar about this. I had a rather heated discussion with another village missionary at conference last year about that. It really doesn't matter a great deal, except on certain little things. Because Paul uses faith frequently, not always, but frequently to talk about the body of belief. He talks about Christianity as the faith. And so we are members in the faith. And he talks to Timothy, he tells Timothy that you know, you hold the mysteries of the faith, the truths, the doctrines, the things that define Christianity are the faith. And so there are those who want to make Hebrews more Pauline, and so they take this and they put that "the" in there. Now, if you go back and you look through how Hebrews has approached this, and I want to take us to the start of chapter 11, because this is really the key to how we need to understand this. Because chapter 11 begins, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the thing that introduced this whole section that we've been talking about for the last 5 months on faith. Yeah, it's been about that long to get from start of chapter 11 to the start of chapter 12. So the whole perspective in Hebrews on faith is he's talking about a confidence. He's talking about a mental security in an idea or in a person. And so when we look at faith here, is that it is the entire focus on what we believe. That's been his motivation for making this whole argument, is what are you believing? What are you standing firm on? What is it that gives you confidence to go forward? And so the description of all of these different heroes of the faith and everything, the witnesses that are now the evidence that we're seeing, they are there so that we have a reason to have confidence and be able to stand firm in the truth of Jesus Christ. So when I get to this, and somebody wants to argue that it's talking about the faith, that Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith, of Christianity in that sense, that's not what he's getting at here. This is a very personal message to people about their faith, their confidence in Jesus Christ. This is how do you keep your trust in Jesus Christ strong? We always have to go back. What is he writing about? From the beginning of this book, he is writing about people who need encouragement so that they don't turn away from Jesus. It says, you need your faith strengthened. Look at all these people who were so faithful, even though they didn't see their promises fulfilled. And now look at Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus as you deal with your race, with those weights and sins and all of that stuff that you've got to deal with. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one who is the very beginning, the one who gave you a reason for faith. You see, all of these things that went before were only pointers. All of these people who had faith in something that wasn't there yet. Because God didn't give them the complete picture. He was holding back. He says He had provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And that something better is Jesus Christ. And that our faith, our personal relationship begins in Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking chronological things here. We're not saying, okay, we go back and we look at the birth of Jesus. That's the beginning of faith. Our faith begins really in the promise of Jesus Christ. All of that stuff in the prophets about the Messiah who is going to come, the one who is going to be the Savior, the deliverer of Israel, all of that stuff is pointing to Jesus Christ. It's laying the foundation of faith. It's building that city in the wilderness. And so we have a beginning of faith because of Jesus Christ. And we have no real faith apart from Jesus Christ. All of those Old Testament people were really putting faith in Jesus, even if they didn't know that's where it was going. They were trusting God was going to take care of them. He was going to redeem them and deliver them. That's Jesus. And he goes on and he says, Jesus is not only a place where your faith begins, but our faith goes from that beginning to a conclusion. And Jesus is the one who concludes. It doesn't mean that our faith stops existing, but our faith is perfected, completed in Jesus. The complete picture of our faith is in Jesus Christ. We have confidence in Him. We have confidence in the promises of God because we have faith in Jesus Christ. He says, what gives us faith in Jesus Christ? Why do we have that kind of faith in Jesus? And he says, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did Jesus do? Jesus Christ provided the proof that we needed to give substance to our faith. When we look at that, there in the beginning of chapter 11, and he says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives that evidence. And where is our faith found? Our faith is found in Jesus Christ. What does Jesus Christ do to give us that hope, to give us that evidence that shows that those things are real? Jesus Christ endured the cross. Now, what he doesn't say explicitly here, what he implies here, is that the cross is paired with the resurrection. You see, because the cross in itself is the work of redemption. This is when Jesus Christ dies, there is the forgiveness of our sins. There is the work done. The penalty is paid, and we're set free from sin. But once we have been set free from sin, to know the reality of that, to have the confidence, to be able to have that kind of faith, which is truly that evidence, the proof of those things that are not seen, we find that in the empty tomb. We find that in the resurrection. That as Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we see unquestionably that God can do miracles, that God has power over life and death, that Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin, to redeem us, to give us life and hope and eternity. And he demonstrated that. And because he has demonstrated that, he completes our faith. We don't need anything more to have absolute confidence and faith in God, because Jesus Christ is alive. He didn't stay dead. And because Jesus Christ is alive, our faith is complete. Our faith begins in Jesus and it finishes in Jesus. He is sufficient for all that we need. And if we know that Jesus Christ is alive, if we have confidence in Jesus Christ as our living Savior, we have confidence that we have everlasting life. We have heaven. We have eternity. And if we don't have that confidence, we don't have any of that. I have to say, if you don't know, if you're not sure, you need to talk about that. You need to make a decision. You need to decide that you will trust Jesus Christ. That you will look at that proof, that evidence that we have in the risen Savior, the empty tomb, and you will say, I want what he's promising. I believe in Jesus Christ. God made man, lived on earth, taught, died on a cross carrying my sins. I believe that. If you've never made that commitment, there's no better time than today. This is the pivotal point in the book of Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, who endured hostility, who endured the cross, who triumphed over death and the grave, because he loves us and he proves God's power. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you have given us the evidence that we need, that our faith is not based on nothing, is not based on fables, but is based on the person of Jesus Christ and his triumph over the death. Over death. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that every single person here has put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I ask, Lord, that you would just touch hearts, every one of us, that those of us who are believers would be renewed and reinvigorated. If there's anybody who is not a believer, Lord, that you would draw them to you. And Lord God, just let this be a time when we come before you and we rejoice in the fact that in you we have life. In you we have hope, and we know with absolute certainty that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. In his name, amen.